Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, and here's what's driving the day. First up, several developments in Trump legal news. In the New York fraud case, Donald Trump has posted a $175 million bond to stop collection of that $500 million judgment against him that prevents the state from seizing his assets while Trump appeals the verdict, which could take months or even years. Trump's court filing about the bond did not specify which assets Trump used as collateral. In the New York criminal case, two developments worth noting this morning. One, Hope Hicks, Donald Trump's former White House communications director, will be testifying for the prosecution at the trial, which begins on April 15th. That news comes on the same day that the judge in the case, Juan Merchan, has issued a withering opinion expanding his recently issued gag order. That gag order will now prohibit Trump from attacking family members of both the judge and prosecutor Alvin Bragg. It is no longer just a mere possibility or a reasonable likelihood that there exists a threat to the integrity of the judicial proceedings. The threat is very real, the judge wrote. The average observer must now, after hearing defendants' recent attacks, draw the conclusion that if they become involved in these proceedings, even tangentially, they should worry not only for themselves, but for their loved ones as well. Such concerns, he said, constitute a direct attack on the rule of law itself. Finally, the Supreme Court of Florida issued two major rulings on abortion yesterday afternoon that could have significant implications for the 2024 elections. And joining me now to talk about the abortion rulings in Florida is Florida Playbook author and politics reporter Kimberly Leonard. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's start with the basics here, Kimberly. What did the Supreme Court of Florida decide on abortion yesterday?
The state Supreme Court issued two stunning decisions on abortion. First of all, they ruled that a 15-week abortion ban in Florida, which does not have exceptions for rape and incest, and which has been law for months now, could be upheld. It had been challenged by various opponents under the right to privacy law in the state constitution, and they said that, nope, that'll become law. Now, what they also did by making that ruling was that it triggered a 6-week abortion ban, which is, of course, much more restrictive. And that will go into effect in 30 days in Florida. And that'll change the whole dynamic of the southeast part of the U.S. On top of that, they issued a decision that'll effectively let voters reverse the ruling that they just made on abortion, and they will put the question of abortion rights before voters in November. So voters, when they go to the polls, when they're voting for who they want for president, they'll also have the opportunity to look at their ballot and say, yes, I want to approve abortion rights in Florida, or no, I do not want to. And it needs a 60% approval to pass.
So, Kimberly, just to be clear, what's been on the books and will be on the books for another 30 days has been a 15-week ban with no exceptions for rape and incest. Because of the ruling yesterday, now a 6-week ban starting in 30 days with exceptions for rape and incest will be state law in Florida.
That's exactly right.
Got it. Okay. Kimberly, as you reported on Monday in Florida Playbook, we were expecting that the Supreme Court would decide on whether the abortion referendum would be on the ballot or not. But we didn't know if the court would decide this other issue. To just take us through the sort of politics and intrigue about that and the fact that they did both on the same day.
It's very interesting because now when Florida voters go to the polls, they'll actually have a sense of what abortion laws look like in the state instead of a sort of, you know, descriptor by Democrats of what to expect, the threat of a 6-week ban. They will actually experience that ban, and they will probably know a lot of people who are affected by that kind of a ban because the vast majority of abortions happen early in a pregnancy. What that means is that for Democrats, it'll be a lot easier for them to articulate how exactly they plan to push back and to say, you know, that they want abortion rights to be enshrined into the state constitution. And it puts Republicans on the spot because they're basically forced to point out this binary choice, right? Between abortions broadly legal, and that's what the state ballot initiative would allow, is that abortions would be legal up until viability, which is assumed to be around 24 weeks into a pregnancy. And then it has broad, what they call health exceptions, and they don't define those health exceptions. And so that's why Republicans are saying that it's too extreme, et cetera. But they're going to be forced to have voters choose essentially between a 6-week ban or a abortion being broadly legal, as, by the way, it has been for the vast majority of Florida's history, where Florida has really been the one place in the Southeast where abortion has been more available, where patients come, you know, from all over the South to access abortion care. And so it creates a whole new narrative for Democrats heading into 2024 and for the Biden campaign specifically.
Yeah, so two questions about that. One, is there any reliable polling out there about, you know, given that sort of choice, which way this is likely to go? And then take us through the electoral politics. I know the Biden campaign obviously has seized on this. The campaign has talked a big game about expanding the playing field and making Florida a swing state, although I don't think they put any money into it. And then what are the other Florida level politics that we should be paying attention to?
Well, we do know from putting abortion rights on the ballot in other states that it does tend to pass. What's interesting, though, is Politico did an analysis where they unpacked other ballot initiatives, and they found that even though abortion rights pass, that voters want them, they don't necessarily vote for Democrats as well. So you actually have a lot of independent voters and Republican voters who support abortion rights, who are upholding that policy while not subsequently electing Democrats. So there's going to be a little bit of skepticism in terms of whether it could actually pay dividends for Florida Democrats, because the reality is that Republicans far outnumber Democrats in the state, registered Republicans. I think we're at 850,000 more registered Republicans than Democrats. That's about a 1 million person swing from where it was just a few years ago, because Democrats used to hold the majority. And so they will have to show that they believe that it can also, you know, result in some kind of swing for not just President Biden, but also for, you know, there's a U.S. Senate race that's up for grabs that they will have to show that they could win. I mean, Senator Rick Scott is up for re-election, but he's favored to win. Donald Trump has a lot of support in Florida. When Trump was on the ballot in 2020, he won Florida, and the $15 minimum wage also passed a ballot initiative, even though that was something that he never supported. So Florida does have this history of, you know, having kind of a mixed bag in terms of the ways that it looks at its politics and its politicians and its policies.
Got it. Kimberly, thank you so much for breaking this all down for us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are out. President Biden doesn't have anything on his public schedule. Karine Jean-Pierre will brief at 1:30. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.